And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme, and today's theme in the first hour is death, dying, and rebirth. Each of my guests is discussing something to do with one of these three subjects. My next guest has looked at the workings of the universe through quantum physics and has applied what he's learned to strategy, innovation, and leadership. What can we learn from the universe on these matters? He'll tell us how to radically change our approach while keeping in harmony with nature. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question for my guest, Gerald Harris, you can always call us at 639-0008. Gerald Harris is the president of Harris Planning and Strategies, which he founded way back in 2001. The company specializes in assisting businesses and nonprofit organizations with planning tasks. Gerald is an expert in helping organizations manage uncertainty and going from scenarios to strategy to implementation. Gerald served as a senior consultant with Global Business Network for 15 years, where he became a specialist in scenario analysis. Gerald's work outside of the corporate sector has included working with many non-governmental organizations in community development, regionalism, and environmental policy as well. Prior to joining CBN, Gerald spent 13 years at Pacific Gas and Electric Company in Northern California, its largest utility, and he was the director of business planning for the engineering and construction division. Gerald has a BA in economics from Morehouse College, where he graduated as a member of Phi Beta Kappa. He received an MBA in finance and business economics from the University of Chicago, a very prestigious university. Gerald's latest book is titled The Art of Quantum Planning, Seven Ideas from Quantum Physics for Breakthrough in Creativity, Innovation, and Leadership. Gerald is active in his local community in Northern California. He's a single father with two young adult sons. Welcome to the show, Gerald. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. This is a very heady subject, and so I want to talk to you first of all about how you got the idea for this. Now, quantum physics, for most of my listeners, is way above their heads, and for most business leaders, quantum physics is way above their heads. So in what way does applying quantum physics to business planning help make better decisions and better outcomes?
Well, let me initially start with saying that quantum physics actually isn't above everybody's head because we encounter it, you know, just about every day. And I think if people just sort of step back from that to say, you know, if this is so hard, why is it that other people can think about it, right? And from my standpoint, it's just how is it explained? And what I attempt to do in my book is to explain it in a way that the average person can understand what these concepts are and actually use them. So if we just step back from that, you know, danger point of saying, oh, this is too hard, this is too difficult, I think we can open up a lot of space for learning, thinking, and growing. And that's the core of what I'm doing in the book.
All right, so let me take a big gulp. We'll step back. I'll get rid of the fear factor.
Yep.
And I guess the best place to start then is explain, Gerald, for me, what do you mean by quantum physics? What are the seven principles that you embrace in the book?
Well, let me start with one that I think is the easiest to understand, which is what quantum physics is fundamentally about is how do really, really small subatomic particles, how do they operate? What's the physical dimensions of that, right? Do they do things like move? How do they move, right? So that's what some of our leading physicists have been trying to figure out, and from that what they're understanding is how does the universe work from that small level, and then how do we scale up to what we now see every day? The fundamental particle they like to start with is light. And what's so interesting about light is it has properties of both a grain of sand and an ocean wave.
Okay.
Now, that's not hard for anyone to understand, that light can be both of these kinds of forms, right? So from that, what I go on to say, well, how would I use that, you know, in my everyday life? And what it says is, well, maybe I can look at something in its discrete form, or how it's trending. What's the wave aspect of it? And this is something that we do every day.
All right. So you're looking at the trending aspects of, in this example, light, to see how things are going. You're applying that to our day-to-day business life. All right. So break it down for us.
As a metaphor.
Okay. And so break it down for us. Give us some ideas, if you will, about how you would apply the wave trending of light as a metaphor to business planning.
Okay, let me give you an example. Remember when the Apple iPhone first came out?
Oh, good. I was going to ask you about this. Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Great device, right? And Apple came out with this wonderful device, and it had its idea of what it was going to be in the marketplace, and it as that phone went out, what happened? People began to tinker with it. And next thing we know, people began to think about applications for it, right?
Right.
So here's Apple thinking they've created this discrete thing called an iPhone, and all of a sudden, once it hits the broader environment, it becomes something else. Now, Apple does a really, really smart thing. They move into that trend, and they start the Apple App Store, in which there are now 65,000 different apps. So now the thing that used to be a discrete phone is a completely different device. It is trending towards something completely different, right?
Right.
So that's where you get, in terms of actual strategy, and remember, strategy is basically the process by which you think, by which you engage the environment. Strategy is fundamentally a thought process. And so what I'm suggesting in the book here is, how can we use these ideas in quantum physics, which is how the universe itself works, as metaphors and patterns to help our own thinking, to improve the quality of our thinking, which then improves the quality of our strategy making.
All right. So let me ask you this, Gerald, and using the iPhone example, continuing down that path. First of all, many listeners may not realize how radical a departure that was for Apple, because Apple had heretofore had always had the operating system for the Macintosh computers, which was a very closed environment.
Yeah.
And they lost a lot of ground to Microsoft when Microsoft came out with the OS. So here, for them to open up anything with an Apple logo on it was very controversial. But how did they take advantage of the situation once they saw they were losing control? And haven't they, in effect, by allowing these different apps to be there, lost control? For example, the classic example is that the iPhone originally came out on the AT&T platform. Within a couple of weeks, there was a hack that was available, maybe not on the App Store, but a hack that was available that allowed you to run it on Verizon. Their number one competitor. Now Apple is in bed with both Verizon and AT&T, but at the time that was a controversial pursuit.
Right.
And
right.
Apple, at that point, had lost total control. So how did they manage to corral that and bring it back in so that they could gain some control over their own product?
But see, let me suggest that you're asking the wrong question.
All right. Okay. How so?
It's actually not about being controlled. What would you rather be? Would you rather be rich with a booming product in the market, or would you rather have control?
Well, you're asking perhaps the wrong guy. I would rather have the control because of the liability. But
well, that's why you're not running Apple and Steve Jobs yet.
At the moment,
Steve
neither
Jobs
is he.
Would rather be rich.
Yeah, exactly.
And what they're becoming is very, very rich, and they're becoming a dominant force in the marketplace. So what I think is happening is they are thinking, and another one of my fundamental principles, which is the interconnection of all things. Remember the universe, and this is one thing that I think your listeners should really understand. Universe is one giant interconnected energy system. The illusion of our eyes and the limitations of our brain make us think that there's something called separation. But there is no such thing in physics, right? Well, Apple now understands that their product and their market is in one massive system. And what they need to do is think systemically, not from a standpoint of isolating, which is a control thought, right? And as soon as they made that decision to think systemically, they have become now the most highly valued IT company in the world now. Their market value now exceeds Microsoft, because their thinking and their strategy exceeds that which exists in Microsoft at this time.
All right, we're talking to Gerald Harris, everybody, author of the book, The Art of Quantum Planning, Lessons from Quantum Physics for Breakthrough Strategy, Innovation, and Leadership. So let me ask you, Gerald, in your theory of quantum planning, how does quantum planning teach us to deal with the most difficult of all variables out there, and that is uncertainty? How do you deal with things like political change that we're seeing in Arab countries across North Africa? How do you deal with social change like we're seeing both here in the United States and abroad, demographic trends, technology change, even new values? Or, you know, who could have predicted that the Internet would be such an integral part of our lives? So how do you deal with uncertainty using your quantum planning?
Yeah, it's two things. One is openness of your thinking, which means getting out of your comfort zone, right, and getting out of any form of groupthink, okay? And then the second thing is what I call a learning forward orientation.
Explain that.
You need to understand that you need to be learning something new every day.
Okay? Well, certainly we are here.
Uncertainty is always going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you can do is constantly be open and constantly learning. And then through that, you can improve the quality of your thinking and improve the quality of your results, which I think is if you call this positive radio, that is one of the core principles of all positive thinking as I understand it.
Is to look forward and have a forward thinking or forward learning orientation.
A learning forward orientation, which is every day. You know, when I get up every day and I read the newspaper, the question I'm asking myself is, what is it that I thought a particular way about that is completely wrong or that is shifting or something new is occurring, right? Because I realize that my own thought process, okay, is just mine. It just sits in this little space. It doesn't create reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's my own perception.
Right.
So I need to be constantly reviewing and changing those perceptions, right? And in fact, the core of the book, when people ask me, what is this book really about? And I say it's about this fundamental thing. How do you improve the quality of your thinking? What are the tools you use to do that?
And I think that those are good objectives to have when you're doing this, Gerald. Talk to me about what you've unlearned this week. Maybe that'll help to solidify it for some of my listeners. In the last seven days, what have you unlearned?
I tell you a big one for me. Okay, it's this. Okay, I go to the store, and I'm buying a new PC, right?
Okay.
And I want to get some software for it, and I ask the guy, could you please give me the CD for the software? And the guy says, we don't have a CD for the software. It's actually in the cloud on the web, and you just have to download it. Now, my thought is, well, wait a minute. I back to your point about control, see, I felt I needed to actually own a thing because I'm accustomed to owning a thing, like a piece of a CD,
mm-hmm.
that says I actually own, you know, the software. No, what happens is I have rights to access to it online because it's constantly being updated and changed. So the last thing I need is a hard CD, right, which can't be updated. So now all of a sudden I have to realize is that they're giving me this thing in its energy form as opposed to its mass form.
Okay.
It takes the E equals MC squared. Everything is energy, right?
Right.
What's going on is anything that's now can become digital is being given to me in its energetic form as opposed to its mass form. This is something we are going through in a lot of different ways. If you go to the store now, you can get CDs and DVDs now for like $4 or $5. You know why? Because people are now realizing all this stuff is going on the net now, and there's no need to have a hard copy of almost anything that can be digitized, including my book, for example.
Well, that's exactly where I was going. We're talking to Gerald Harris, author of the book, The Art of Quantum Planning. So let me ask you, Gerald, are you giving up your book and are you going on the web? Is everything available on your website that was once available between the covers of your book?
Well, of course, you can download the book on Amazon, the electronic form of it for, you know, less than the hard copy of the book. But what's more interesting to me is how many other electronic download websites have my book. Some of them are offering it for free.
Wow.
That's what I thought they were. But what it is one of those trick things that, oh, yeah, we'll give it to you for free once you fill out a million different things and give us your credit card number and all that kind of stuff. So you don't actually get it for free. But the thing, in fact, I wrote about this in the book. There's a passage in the book that I said, you know what's going to happen is when you buy this book, you, the reader, and I are going to become connected. And the way we're going to become connected is you may decide, after finishing the book, to sell the book back to Amazon or whoever, and all of a sudden, people who are buying my book new or buying my book old, you and I are now interconnected.
Okay. Now, I like all of this interconnectivity, which is a central mm-hmm. theme of your book, The Art of Quantum Planning. But in just the few minutes that we've got left, Gerald, describe for me what you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Art of Quantum Planning.
What I want them to take away from it is a combination of two things. One is, back to my question of how do you improve the quality of your thinking, which is therefore going to improve the quality of your result, okay? And then the second thing I want them to take from it is as they step into that, how do they change the strategies of, for their lives or for the organizations in order to make our world a better place? Because that's fundamentally what I want people to get out of the book, is an opportunity to be more creative, to be more thoughtful, and therefore create more wonderful things for us all to enjoy and share.
Well, that's a very altruistic goal that you have, Gerald. Let me flip the tables on you, if I can, for just a minute. As the author of the book and putting this together, The Art of Quantum Thinking, what did you get out of writing the book?
You know what, I'll be honest with you. I read my book from cover to cover every 6 weeks.
Is that right?
Yes, I do.
That's unusual.
I actually wrote the book for myself as well, because I knew some of these principles in here, I might forget them myself. people don't understand that once you write a book, it doesn't mean you remember everything you wrote in it. So when I read the book myself, I get a lot of benefits out of it, right? And one I recently got out of it is there's a principle in the book I discussed called the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle, which basically says how you observe something depends on what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to watch myself either observe and think of something a particular way that's very limited, and then realize, wait a minute, I'm projecting this onto that. It doesn't have to be that. Only thing I need to do is just change my point of view, change my perception, and I can change the results. That I live every day now. How do I change my view of something and therefore see different possibilities than what I previously thought from my either historical thinking or fear-based thinking or something like that? And that, in essence, exists at the level of the universe, because whether light is a particle or a wave depends on how you are observing it.
Interesting, profound, and very, very thought-provoking. We're talking to the author, Gerald Harris, The Art of Quantum Planning, Lessons from Quantum Physics for Breakthrough Strategy, Innovation, and Leadership. Gerald, if people are intrigued by this, or if they're baffled by this and they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would direct them to go to my website, which is just www.artofquantumplanning. In fact, if you just Google Art of Quantum Planning, my website will come up. But then you can just go to Amazon and buy a copy of the book. Once you get a copy of the book, you can email me, you can call me. My phone number and my email are on my website. And I get a lot of interesting calls and emails from around the world from people who've gotten the book, including a young man from Iran who bought the book at an international book fair.
Wow. That's very cool, and that's great feedback. And for those of you who haven't been to Art of Quantum Planning, it is a great website. Lots of freebies there as well, aren't there, Gerald, that they can download?
Absolutely, yeah, because what I'm trying to do is to expand on the concepts of the book so that they become a lot more accessible to people. So I build on the ideas and give people additional material to draw from.
Well, it's a great website, and it's a great book. We've been talking to the author, Gerald Harris, The Art of Quantum Planning, Lessons from Quantum Physics for Breakthrough Strategy, Innovation, and Leadership. Gerald, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure as well.